Welcome as we gather for worship on Maundy Thursday. Just a note to you before we begin. On the first verse of my song is Love Unknown, which is during the darkness of betrayal. Joan will play that verse through first, so you can all hear the verse or the music before we sing the first verse. She'll do that just during that time, and then we'll sing each one as we work our way through our liturgy. Let us turn our hearts and minds to our call to worship. What shall we return to the Lord for all his bounty to us? We lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. We will pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Let us stand as we join together in the hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This?
Seated. And please join in the call to confession. In all humility and faith in the grace of God, let us confess our sin. Lord Jesus, like Israel, we have abandoned you. Like Judas, we have betrayed you. Like Peter, we have denied you. And like the other disciples, we have forsaken you. Yet you remain faithful to us unto death, even death on a cross. Though you bound yourself to us, we have not bound ourselves to you. God, have mercy on us, weak and willful people. Let us once again to your table and unite us to Christ, who is the bread of life and the vine from which we grow in grace. To Christ be praise forever. Amen. The saying is sure and worthy of acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sisters and brothers, believe in the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
the night that Jesus met with his apostles and his closest friends was the night of Passover. This would have been a dinner they gathered for many times, but tonight would be different. Already there was a stir in the air. All gathered knew that Jesus was angering the religious authorities with his messages of grace and peace. Already Jesus had showed his anger in the temple. People were talking. They turned to what was a familiar spiritual practice, remembering the faith of their ancestors who had followed God towards the promised land. And it was this night that Jesus made a new covenant through the sacrament of communion. It was then that he invited those gathered to receive God's love and grace. And it is tonight that we too gather and remember the covenant made through Christ's body and blood, and know that it is our invitation too. To remember, even when we don't know what will happen next, come, just come. Let us pray together. We love you, Lord, for you have heard our cry. When we were captives, enslaved to sin, you led us safely through the sea so that we might worship you in freedom. Therefore, we offer this sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon your holy name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He came from you, he returned to you. You put all things in his hands. He came to show your great love for the world, and he loved us to the end. We pray tonight that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and juice, that the bread that we break and the cup that we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one another, that we may serve one another with humility and grace, following Christ's example as he washed his disciples' feet. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As I said, they had been eating, and at some point during that dinner, Jesus took bread, and he broke it, and he offered it to his friends, and he said to them, "Take and eat, and as you do so, remember that this is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of your sins." So, my friends, tonight I invite you to take the wafer that is on the top of your cup and eat of the wafer as we remember Christ's body broken for us. And after Jesus had broken the bread, he then took the cup and he lifted it up to his disciples, offering it to them, saying to them, "Take and drink, and remember that this is a new covenant shed by my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." And so we have received the bread that has been broken for us. We also receive the cup that reminds us of Christ's sacrifice. And let us drink of this, signifying the beauty of the body of Christ. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the reminder of your grace and your love that consumes us every day. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work through us as we are reminded tonight that we may also enter into your broken world with a message of God's love and forgiveness shown through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
As we prepare to hear the reading of Scripture, let us pray for illumination. God of Exodus and resurrection, you have promised to write your law on our hearts. As we hear the reading of your word, teach us your law of love, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may show forth the light of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our first reading is from Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Listen also for these words from the 26th chapter of Matthew. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus replied, "You have said so." Please remain seated as we sing the first verse of My Song is Love.
Readings from God's Word, from Psalm 41, and again from Matthew 26. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They think that a deadly thing has fastened on me, that I will not rise again from where I lie. Even my bosom friend, in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted the heel against me. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." And Peter said to Jesus, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said to Jesus, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples.
Readings from God's Word in Psalm 31. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And these words from Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And this poem titled, "I Have Called You Friends." "I have called you friends," says Jesus, but there are the times no one would ever guess it. Friends of each other, friends of mine. You call each other names. You impugn each other's honor. You covet the best assignment and the most gratifying credit, even when you are working for yourselves. Forgiveness and reconciliation get lost in the turmoil of your quarrels. Friends make the most successful enemies when they lose touch with each other, when they lose touch with me, says Jesus. Nonetheless, I have called you friends.
Darkness of accusation. Another reading from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" And they answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in Jesus' face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Darkness of Crucifixion. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way.
Darkness of death. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And at once one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn into two, from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And after his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." A reading of the poem, "My God." Despite all appearances to the contrary, God blesses, our curses and questions collapse when we know him better. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" becomes "My God." There are no tender, no stronger words than these.
Darkness of the grave. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices and linen cloths, according to the burial of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. A poem titled Finishing Touch. He drove the last nail. Not they, but he finished the uphill work, executed his own life enterprise, hung up on broken bones as well-worn tools to consummate his handiwork and achieve his all-embracing and complete labor of love.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Were you there to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they rose from the grave? Were you there when he rose from the grave? Tremble, tremble.